and that this place would become a place, well, these people here, us together, we would become a people who love one another more deeply and challenge one another, speak the truth in love to one another. Would tonight be a part of us, part of our journey in growing that direction. So we love you. We thank you for your word and how it teaches us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Noah. Well, who got nervous? Boy, that sounds loud, doesn't it? Is it loud to you guys? Oh, you got it. You got me. All right, good. I just scared myself. Who got nervous when Noah talks about salt and going out and mixing it up with some unbelievers and people that don't know Christ yet? Anybody? Listen, every time I know that I'm about to talk about Christ with somebody, my palms get like all sweaty and I get a little tingly, and it's just because, you know, you're engaging with somebody on something that's so critical, so huge, so monumental, so eternal, that it's scary. And I view it like, you know, on your car, those little lights that come on sometime, like need oil, or, you know, your gas gauge goes down. We used to call them idiot lights. I don't know if they call them that anymore, but it's like your light comes on the dashboard. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. And so that's how I do it. So courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing what you have to do in the midst of fear. So anyhow, I applaud you guys for doing that, going out and just talking to people. You know this is totally off topic, by the way. The three most encouraging, calming, peace-giving words that you can ever know when you're talking about faith. I don't know. Because aren't you sometimes afraid that, you know, you're going to talk to somebody and they're going to like talk you into a corner and you're not going to know the answer, and then you're going to be stuck, you're going to have egg on your face, you're not going to know how to share what, you know, the value of Christ. And it's so cool to just be able to say, you know, that's a great question. I don't know. I'll find out. Let's meet next Tuesday. And then now you have two evangelism opportunities, two times to talk to somebody about Christ. And so that would be fun. And I mean, you guys all know each other, but I was sitting there thinking, what if I was in this room and I wasn't one of those people that did know faith? And so I would say, maybe there's not anybody like that in here, but if you're somebody that's not a Christian yet, you're still questioning and wondering, I would say, grab somebody before they leave here and say, hey, can I hang out with you next week? That'd be cool, wouldn't it? All right, how about we get on topic? We're going to talk tonight about the value of fellowship. And just as those two relate to what I was just sharing about fear and wondering about going out and sharing your faith, one of the beauties of fellowship or community of believers being together is that we can encourage one another. We can strengthen one another. We can build one another up. To do things, it's not for just fellowship, it's for reaching the world. If we just come together for fellowship just for fellowship's sake, we're missing the point. We're supposed to be salt and light. But we need to be able to come together and fan the flames. All right. So tonight what we're going to talk about are the three aspects of fellowship, of healthy fellowship. Three areas that... Yeah, I think I'm on. Now we're on. Three aspects of our fellowship. Fellowship, fancy word, just means coming together as believers to help and encourage one another. Community would be another way to say it. Relating to people. Pretty big in God's economy. How we relate to one another. You know, there's all kinds of things like Jesus says, this is my command, that you love one another. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me, Jesus said. So how I treat you, Jesus says, is I'm treating him that way. So it's pretty big to God. The whole law is summed up in this. Love God and love your neighbor, Jesus said. If we say we love God and hate our brother, we're lying, the Bible says. So we're going to glean a few instructions on each of these relationships and how we relate to one another as believers. And we're going to start with our peer relationships. Peer relationships because, let's see, not working. Can you do it then? All right. Yeah, peer relationship. We're going to start there because when we normally think of how we relate to other believers, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. How am I relating? How are we relating to one another? And because everything we say on this level is going to apply to the other levels, which are, by the way, how we relate to those that God gives us to lead us and that God gives us that we can lead or encourage or help them. And so those are our three levels, if you will, or three areas of relationship. All right, let's look at a few scriptures. The first one, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. If you've started memorizing the topical memory system, this one comes up pretty quick, and it's because it's the importance of getting together as believers. And so can I have somebody, we're going to go through a couple of scriptures, and rather than just have me do all the talking, can I just have some of you volunteer from time to time? And so who would like to read Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? You got it. Is it? Is it favored enough for you to stand up and say it really loud? All right, good. Great. Thanks, Allie. Building one another up, encouraging one another. Listen, isn't there enough going on around us where people are batting us down and there's enough destructive, harmful, hurtful things, discouraging, criticizing, cutting, rejecting, ignoring? Boy, how about committing ourselves to encouraging? To encourage means to put courage in, to build up, to strengthen and help, and rather than tear down, we're building up. And interestingly enough, it says, let us consider. Let's think about this. Let's take time and think, how can I encourage my friends? So let's do that. How can you do that? How can we encourage one another? What are some ideas? Yeah, ask them if they want to come with you. Great. It's going to be a long night if we don't have some participation. Compliment? Yeah, that's great. Okay. Yeah, that's great, Katie. Listening. You know, you've probably heard it said, God's given us two ears, one mouth. So we should listen twice as much as we talk. Yeah, good. Yes?
Sometimes with believers and unbelievers, I'm just like, you know, they're playing with them. And it's like, I don't know, I really needed that.
Yeah, that's great.
No, you know, I just...
Yeah. That's so true. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that don't know Christ, they don't have faith yet. And I've never had anybody say, please don't pray for me. And if I just say, hey, do you, especially if they're sharing something that's difficult, can I just pray for you? It means something to them. They like that. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that would just get all mad, but not many. Not anybody that I've met, anyhow. All right, one or two more? Anything? Encourage. Okay. Good, Ken. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. You know, one thing about giving affirmation or praise or encouragement, the more specific it is, the better. You know, versus like, hey, good job. Well, I mean, that's better than sharp stick in the eye, my kids would say. But to say something specific like, you know, I really like the way you did that. Mandy, the way you were greeting people today, it was just, you had such a smile, you were so happy. Where's Mandy? I lost her. Oh, there you are. You're happy, you know, and smile on your face, and you welcome them and greet them. That was so good. See, isn't that more meaningful than just, hey, good job? Yeah, good. All right, so encouraging one another. And interesting, he says, don't neglect this as the habit. Some people are in the habit of doing. And isn't it easy? Boy, you get busy, you have a lot of homework, you have a project due. It's so easy to say, I just don't have time. God says, don't neglect it. We need it. We need it. You know, barbecue grill illustration. Now, I know a lot of people have gas grills these days. I have one. But for years, I had charcoal. You know what happens with charcoal when you want to get it hot? What do? You put all the coals together. You want to cool them off and save the coals for later? You spread them out, and they'll die out. And then you put them back together. They heat up. And so that's what we need, fellowship, to kind of like be hot. Otherwise, we cool off. All right. Next. All right, volunteer. Got it, Nick. Are you going to check it out to make sure it's the right verse?
make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Humility. Humility. Thinking about others, not just myself. Isn't it? I mean, we all know it. Who do we think about most? Ourselves. It just comes natural. We don't have to try. It just happens. And so to put that aside and think about other people and think about their needs is an act of humility. Now, in living in unity, also it's talking about being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. You know, in a group this size, there's probably a lot of people that differ on some things. There's all kinds of things we can differ on and still get along. You know, I don't know, like just a simple one would be music. You know, and even worship style, worship music. You know, some people like this, some people like that. And so there's a lot of things that we can agree to disagree on. There's a lot, there's some things, a few things that we are willing to die for. These things, you know, I'm not going to compromise on this. This is an essential. So there are some of those things. There's an awful lot that we just can agree to disagree on, and we don't need to make a big deal. It's been said, you know, soldiers don't argue about things in a foxhole. You know, when the enemy's coming and they're just trying to look out for one another, keep one another alive, they're not arguing what kind of music they like. Or, you know, should you baptize this way or baptize that way? Or should you do this or do that? Or all kinds of lower grade things that sometimes we as believers can kind of like nitpick about. And so this is a call to unity, a call to being majoring on the majors, not majoring on the minors. Does anybody know what the acronym, talking about relationship with other believers, the acronym of JOY? Jesus first in your life, others, and yourself. That's how to have joy. Just prioritize your relationships that way. Jesus is first in your life. Others are important. And then think of yourself. Don't not think of yourself, but just put it in the right order. All right. Let's go to that next verse. Who's going to volunteer? Liz. Great. Reconciliation. We're going to talk about reconciliation here because oftentimes we might start nitpicking and getting into some arguments, or someone says something and it hurts us. Maybe they didn't affirm us. They criticized us. Maybe they ignored us or forgot about us. There's all kinds of reasons that we get hurt by one another. And so this says, if I am going to Nav Night to worship, and there I remember that somebody has something against me, do an about face and take care of business first. Isn't it amazing that God puts that kind of priority on my relationship to you? Is that God's saying, don't even come. Let's go take care of that first. That's huge. That's how important it is. God wants us to make sure that we go, if somebody has something against us, we need to go take care of it. We need to take the initiative. If I know that I've hurt somebody, I need to go take the initiative. All right, but next verse, what does this say? Somebody? You got it. Thank you. So if I know that I've hurt you, and it comes to my mind, God brings it to my mind, I can't wait for you to come get me. I can't say, well, Matthew 18:15 says, you know, if she has a problem with me, she needs to come to me. No. The verse we just saw says, I need to go to her. But this also says, if I know that you have done something to me, you've hurt me, I can't wait for you to say, well, you know, Matthew 5 says he ought to come to me. In other words, it's always our responsibility. Whether I've hurt you or you've hurt me, I've always got to be the one that makes sure I take the initiative. I can't wait around for you or for somebody else to come and take care of it. Very important. God holds that as a high, high priority. All right, well, let's move on. So those are just some principles on relating to one another. There's a lot more, okay? But those are a few simple ones. Now, like I said, those relationships with peers also relate to those that lead us and those that God entrusts to us. But let's look at those who lead us. Leaders. Interestingly enough, leadership is God's idea from all eternity, eternity past, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There is leadership in the Trinity from all eternity past. It's not something that God created because, like, oh, I got a bunch of rebellious people down there. I got to put some leaders in charge of them and make sure they don't kill each other. Leadership is just the way God operates. And we're created in God's image. So God has given us leaders to lead us. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Volunteer? Sure, David, go ahead. Yes, I can.
Young men in the same way be submissive to their older, who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God spoke to the proud and gives praise to God.
Great, thanks, David. So, again, here's humility. We just saw humility in our peer relationships. Now there's humility in looking to our leaders. Do you know the word submissive is a Greek word? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but this is what my Greek friends tell me, or Greek scholar friends tell me, is that the word submit is hupo tasso. And hupo means under, tasso means place. So I place myself under, voluntarily under someone's authority. Voluntarily put myself in a position to be led by people. This is what God says we should do. We should look to some people, spiritual leaders in particular, is what we're talking about here. There's all kinds of leaders. We have political leaders. We have, our school leaders. But we're talking here about spiritual leaders, looking to them to follow their lead. What would God have me to do through them? What's God telling me through them? Now, this is countercultural. If you notice, who are the heroes in so many of our movies? It's kind of like the righteous rebel. Like, you're going to throw off those corporate people and those bad people and those people telling us to do it, and we're going to be, righteous indignation. I mean, it's kind of our culture is to buck authority. God says there is no authority except the authority that I've placed. And so God wants us to look to our leadership, to trust God with our leaders to lead us. All right? So that's countercultural, which is good because God's called us to live kingdom culture. All right, 1 Timothy 5:17. I love the non-eye contact when it comes to looking for volunteers. You guys are in school. I can tell. You've got this down. Don't give the eye contact, but you've got it. Go ahead. Great. Worthy of honor. Again, isn't that kind of a concept we don't think about a lot of times in our relationships? God says we should honor those, our spiritual leaders, we should honor them. Now, that doesn't mean Noah walks in the room and we all bow down. Noah's here. Oh, great Noah. But it does mean that we should honor, show respect, trust God to use him, trust God to use Nick, trust God to use Leanne, trust God that our, in our Bible study leaders, yes, even our Bible study leaders, to a degree, God has put them in a place to, and they've entrusted you to them. And so we should look at them. And here's the next one. Look at Hebrews 13:17, I think is the next. Volunteer. Eye contact. Ready, go. That's how we're going. We're doing it now. If I see your eyes, I'm calling on you.
Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They will watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you.
Do you hear that? Now, doesn't that sound kind of like harsh? Like, obey? I got to obey Noah? This sounds kind of weird. I mean, who? How many people woke up this morning and thought, I need to obey Nick today? Or I need to obey Noah? Well, how about this? Follow their lead. Follow their lead. I'm going to trust God that when they say this is a good thing, I'm going to take that seriously. Following their lead. On board wholeheartedly. There's an example, 1 Samuel 14. You could write this down and look it up later. 1 Samuel chapter 14. There, Jonathan is the prince. He's the son of the king. And he and his armor bearer, the guy that's carrying his shield and his sword, and they're going out, and they're going to look for some of the enemy. And Jonathan says, if the enemy is, there's some enemy up there, some Philistines up there. If they say, hey, we're coming down there, well, you know, we'll fight them. But if they say, hey, come up here, we know God's given them to us on our hand, which is counterintuitive because going uphill is not a good way to fight a battle. But Jonathan had the faith that that's how God was going to give them the victory. I love what his armor bearer said. His armor bearer didn't say, what are you, crazy? You go, I'm not going. Or, listen, I got a better idea. No, his armor bearer says, do all that's in your mind. I'm with you heart and soul. I'm with you heart and soul. You know what an encouragement that is to a leader? To know that they have people that are like with them, heart and soul. Like, let's go for it. I'm with you. That's so encouraging. And look what it says. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. For that would not be an advantage to you. I have a friend, Navigator staff friend, who has written in his Bible by this verse, when my leaders think of me, does it put a smile on their face or a grimace? When my leaders think of me, do they smile or grimace? Let's be people that put smiles. Now, I'm not talking about being a people pleaser. I'm not talking about, you know, Noah says jump and you say how high. But just, we're together. Let's reach this campus for Christ. Noah, tell us how to do it. I'm with you heart and soul. All right. Let's look at followers. Because you know what? Every single person in this room not only can be, but will be and should be a leader. Maybe your families, maybe your children, maybe some people at work. And hopefully, it's going to be some people that God entrusts to your care. Let's look at 2 Timothy. I think that's the next one. 2 Timothy 2:2. Nick, go. You probably heard that verse before. It's like a Navigator standard verse. It's the pipeline. It's the baton passing on. People have entrusted things to me. The natural thing, the next thing to do is I should entrust it to somebody else. I should be passing on things that I'm learning. Doesn't mean I need to be a theologian. Doesn't mean I need to go to seminary. Doesn't mean I need to be a pastor or a teacher or a navigator. All it means is that I trust God to use me to speak things that I've learned. The first person, you guys are all going out to Salt next week. the first person that I ever helped get into the kingdom of God, go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that I shared the gospel with, I was 3 weeks old as a Christian. I had just come to faith myself. I had never heard anything about God. Someone shared the gospel with me. I accepted Christ. 3 weeks later, I was new. I was in the Navy, a new assignment, show up at night, meet this guy, Dan. And I didn't know a verse. I didn't know anything. All I knew is like, there's these two cliffs because we've sinned against God and now we're separated. But fortunately, God has paid the price with Jesus. And do you want to receive him? And the guy said, yes. And he came in, he became a Christian. And the next day, our third roommate came in and said, what did you share with Dan? I went to Bible college. I've been talking to Dan for 6 months. And what did you tell him? And, well, this cliff and this cross. And he said, you're kidding. God can do it. He can use, it's amazing what God can do with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. We're not talking about the navigators. We're not talking about a church. We're not talking about building a kingdom or making numbers or getting notches in our belt because we did this or we did that. We're talking about people that God loves so much and that we should love and care for. They become dear to us and we care about them. And we want to be able to share with them. And then 1 Timothy 4:12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. You know, if you feel intimidated, like, I don't know if I'm ready to lead anybody or help anybody. You know, that's what Jeremiah said. That's what Moses said. That's what Isaiah said. They all had objections like, I don't know if I really qualify for this. And here's the encouragement God said to each one of them. Don't fear. I'm with you. I'll help you. I'll make you qualified. And so we can trust that God can use us to make a difference in people's lives. All right, so we've looked at 3 aspects of our relationships with believers. And they're areas that we should all continue to grow in. Our peers, loving one another, being reconciled, being humble toward them, trusting God to use leaders in our life, and then trusting God to use us in other people's lives. 3 aspects of relationships. All right, let me pray, and then I've got some questions that I want you to talk about. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be together, to look at your word. Lord, we've just kind of like sprinted through these verses. I just pray that you would use them, to trigger thoughts or ideas in our mind on what you would have us to do. Lord, would you just speak to us, even in our conversation now as we gather together and talk over these discussion questions. Lord, I pray that you give direction so that we can all be more like you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I don't know how you guys do this. You just split up by